This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Monday afternoon, July 29th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. The new movie, Deadpool and Wolverine, is shattering box office records. We'll talk about its huge numbers in our next segment. But right now, the next few weeks will be exceptionally busy in downtown Chicago and the Near West Side. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Michael Edwards, President and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance. Michael, thank you for joining us today. Let's run down all the events in Chicago in the month of August. Lollapalooza, the Aaron Waters Show, the first Bears preseason home game, the Democratic National Convention. I mean, if you own a business in or around downtown Chicago, do you have to reserve a Brinks truck to carry all that extra revenue you're going to make this month?
Well, we're anticipating it being very busy and a lot of happy business people downtown.
Now, we've been talking for about 4 years, and I remember 4 years ago interviewing you and just talking about, you know, when will things return to normal in the Loop after the COVID shutdowns, because downtown Chicago was virtually empty for most of 2020. And then I was driving home from the radio station last night, 9 o'clock last night. I'm trying to get to the Kennedy Expressway to go home, and you're in traffic jams because of valet parking, because tourists are walking around. It was busy at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Yeah, it's a new downtown. It's a little bit different. Well, it's a little bit different than it was before. It's not 9 to 5. It was largely that. There's still a lot of people that work downtown. You know, a couple hundred thousand people still working downtown. But we're into the evenings and into the events and into the theater that's going on downtown. And these major events like NASCAR and Lollapalooza and, of course, the DNC are just kind of icing on the cake.
We're talking to Michael Edwards, President and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance. Now, some of the events taking place in and around downtown Chicago in August are annual occurrences. Lollapalooza happens every year, Aaron Waters Show, the Bears season always gets underway in August. But what would you say is the win, or would be a win, coming out of the Democratic National Convention? I mean, once again, the city of Chicago on a world stage. When the convention ends, what would you say is the benchmark of success for the Loop?
Well, I think if we can all get a singular message out there that Chicago is innovative, it's resilient, and it continues to grow despite all of the things people hear about it, and that we are totally ready for this convention, I've never seen a city work so hard to get ready for something like this. And I think, as you said, the big benefit here is the national, international exposure.
And on top of that, I mean, we look back to 1996, and one could make the argument that all of the civic improvements that were put in place on the Near West Side prior to the 1996 convention around the United Center led to this renaissance that has made the Near West Side one of the hottest neighborhoods and places to locate a business in the entire Chicago area. So what type of innovation could we see coming out of 2024 that will say, oh, that set the stage for the next reinvention after that convention?
Right. Well, sort of similar. The CTA and the city are opening the Damon Green Line station. And that's really going to change the way people can access not only that part of downtown, but also the Loop itself. And so we think this opens up opportunities. This is a legacy project. This was the intention of the DNC, bringing it here in the first place, is a lot of these legacy projects. We even have them on State Street. We have brand new painted light poles up and down State Street that we're very excited about. But those are things that will be left over and for the benefit of people who live here, not just the 50,000 people who are visiting.
Michael Edwards, President and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, a pairing of Marvel superheroes makes box office magic.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The film Deadpool and Wolverine outpaced analyst expectations, making the highest debut of the year at the weekend box office. Let's check the numbers with Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore, based in Los Angeles. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And based on these boffo results for Deadpool and Wolverine this weekend, how is the 2024 box office shaping up compared to 2023?
Well, that's a great question, Rob. And what a weekend. And, you know, this past weekend a year ago was the second weekend of Barbenheimer. And the top two movies alone surpassed that entire weekend. So, and by the way, Deadpool and Wolverine is going to come in even higher than the estimated $205 million for the domestic weekend. It's probably going to be right around $211. So, I mean, talk about a sea change in the box office since May, where at the end of May, after that dismal Memorial weekend, Rob, I think you and I talked about that, the box office was down about 28%. Now it's down about 16%. So what a difference just 7-8 weeks can make at the box office. But wow, what a performance for an R-rated movie, a four-quadrant R-rated movie, as Ryan Reynolds correctly said. It really is.
And for those of us who are not in the business, I mean, I just learned about the phrase four quadrant from an interview with the producer Kenneth Johnson talking about the Incredible Hulk TV show from the 70s. He said that was a four quadrant show. What is a four quadrant TV show or movie?
Yeah, it just basically means it appeals to everyone. It means over 25, under 25, male and female, but really it just has to do with all genders, all ages, and for me, adding on all cultures can really get something out of a movie like Deadpool and Wolverine. And the fact that this R-rated opening ceiling, which had been achieved for the by the first Deadpool, which opened to $132.4 million domestically, to come in at 205, maybe more like 209, 211 when we get the final numbers later today for an R-rated movie, just shows how audiences have evolved. If you look at a movie like Logan, the Wolverine, you know, featuring the Wolverine, which is a brilliant film, that was R-rated. Of course, Deadpool, Joker, not ostensibly a superhero movie in the strictest sense, but still of that world and that milieu, if you want to say. And so these R ratings allow for or afford filmmakers so much more creative latitude, and audiences want to go along for that ride. And of course, within the context of the comedic elements in a film like Deadpool and Wolverine, it makes it all the more palatable and so much more fun for the audience.
We're talking about the weekend box office with Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore in Los Angeles. One thing you and I have talked about quite a bit is the movie theater industry trying to find its footing in the age of streaming, because the pull of the couch and the convenience of your living room, that's a very powerful gravity well for the movie theater to escape, and it's trying to find its footing in this new era. But at the same time, do you think the streaming ecosystem serves as a springboard for some of these Marvel sequels? Maybe you didn't see Deadpool in the movie theater, the first one, but you caught it on Disney Plus, and now you want to go to the theater to see the sequel.
There you go. You just hit on all the right notes there, Rob. It's exactly that. In fact, I always say people who love movies and love filmed entertainment, yeah, the couch is very appealing, of course, but people this weekend said, I'm going to get off my couch and go out to the movie theater. And remember, too, right now the Paris Olympics are on, which are another, you know, aspect of entertainment that are keeping people on their couch or at home or on their small screens. Although the Olympics were shown in theaters this weekend, by the way, which is quite interesting. So it's an ecosystem that feeds off of itself, builds upon itself. And I think that what you said is exactly right. People will see, perhaps this will be the first Deadpool movie they've seen at all. And if they see this one and they'll say, I want to see the origin story, or go back and see other aspects, I should say, of this story, they can go watch the first Deadpool or Deadpool 2 and get that convenience to watch that at home from their couch. But there's nothing like that movie theater. We wouldn't be talking right now about this, Rob, if this wasn't a movie theater movie and had done over $438 million, probably more like $440 million worldwide this weekend.
Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company ComScore, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, sports tourism. It's falling short at the Paris Summer Olympics.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The level of Olympic-related tourism is not what many people in Paris were expecting. Let's take a look at what's happening with Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And sports tourism is a pretty substantial segment of the entire tourism marketplace, and it's growing. But ironically, it's not growing in Paris, even as it's at the center of the world stage with the Olympics.
Hello, Rob. Absolutely. Sports tourism is a booming business. Olympic tourism is a disaster. It's a disaster for Paris, but it's also been a disaster for the last 30 years in almost any city that's hosted the Summer Games. And the reason is fairly simple. Yes, the sports tourists come, but the other people who would normally come, visitors, business travelers, you name it, stay away from the city when the Olympics are there because they know it's chaotic and the city they know is not functioning the way they know it.
And once again, Yogi Berra proven correct during Olympics years when he said allegedly it's too crowded, nobody goes there.
That may be an apocryphal quote from Yogi, but in fact, Paris is not even as crowded as it normally would be. We're looking at Air France is saying they're going to lose about $200 million because no one's going, and from what we can see from hotel occupancy, it's no higher than would be in a normal July-August period. Especially unique to Paris, Rob, you have to remember, Paris is literally the most touristed city in the world. More people come to Paris to visit than any place in the world. So at best, they're just replacing tourism they would already have. And frankly, the Olympic tourists spend less because the luxury tourists stay away during an Olympic period like this.
We're talking about sports tourism in the Olympics with Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. And this pattern made itself apparent even going back to Los Angeles in 1984 when, yes, the world came to L.A. for the Olympics, but a lot of the Angelenos decided to get out of town during that period of time.
Now, that's absolutely true. In the case of Paris, and anywhere in Europe, August is their vacation time, so Parisians would be leaving anyway. What the Parisians hoped this time, though, was that people would come and rent their apartments on Airbnb or other platforms. That's turned out not to be true as well. For months, we've been tracking the fact that Airbnb business in Paris was flat or down. So the bottom line becomes, unless you're a destination that wants to introduce themselves to the world, say Tokyo in 1964 or Beijing in 2008, the Olympics are not good tourism draws for you during the Olympic period. A little later on, and then certainly, you know, the religious stuff notwithstanding, a lot of people have looked at Paris and say, wow, I want to go there. But they won't be coming till November or December or maybe next year, so we don't know whether they've been impacted by the Olympics or not. But right now, if you wanted to go to Paris, you could get a cheap flight and a pretty decent priced hotel room.
Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com in New York, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, McDonald's comes up short in its quarterly report, along with suggestions from our Monday stock.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different. and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Picker.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A fire in the western suburbs damages a church and knocks out power. Approval's been given to a new screening tool for a potentially deadly cancer. Chicago-based McDonald's falls short of earnings and revenue in the second quarter of the year. Stock Picker Monday. We'll get some ideas from an investing pro. WBBM Business. The markets are mixed. The Dow is down 30 points. The Nasdaq is up 46, the S&P 500 up 10. 77 degrees right now in Chicago under partly sunny skies. Rain and clouds elsewhere going up to a muggy 82. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. A fire in Downers Grove this morning damaged a church and knocked out power to about 130,000 ComEd customers. The utility says a car hit a pole with a transformer on top at around 6:15, sparking that fire. Flames damaged the roof of the Good Shepherd Church on 63rd Street. Power was out for several hours before being restored. The FDA has given the okay to a new screening tool for a particularly dangerous cancer. The details from CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick.
This requires only a blood sample. It's called SHIELD, and it's the first blood test approved by the FDA as a primary screening option for colorectal cancer in those 45 and older who are at average risk. Though it's hoped to provide more convenient screening than a colonoscopy, the New York Times reports it has a poor record of finding precancerous growth. And removing those can prevent cancer.
The hope is that the easier test will encourage more people to be screened. Colorectal cancer is the second most common cause of cancer-related deaths in the U.S. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are mixed. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearset Advisors in New York. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And this is going to be an action-packed week, not only with the Fed meeting, but with some gargantuan earnings reports stepping up to the plate this week.
Yes, and on top of that, you've got a variety of data on the employment sector of the economy. You've got job openings, ADP, payrolls, wages. So you have the Fed, what they're going to say or indicate in terms of rate cuts. You have 40% of the market cap in high-tech company earnings, which can move markets. And then you get a measure of how strong the employment sector of the economy is. So there's a lot that can change between now and 10 a.m. on Friday.
Now, as far as the Fed is concerned, if they were going to announce this week that they were cutting interest rates in July, they would have leaked it already. They have their house organ at the Wall Street Journal who kind of tells you what their thinking is. But it seems like you can bet your bottom dollar on some sort of announcement about a rate cut in September.
Well, yeah, I think that if they were to do something in July, which I don't think is going to happen, but it would be viewed negatively by the market because the market would say the Fed is seeing something in terms of weakening of the economy that we don't see. So I'm hoping and expect that they won't do anything in July. I think they will give a nod towards September, but don't forget their last dot plot had only one rate cut anticipated, and the markets have moved to three. So I think that they are going to be very gradual in terms of addressing the markets. I don't think they want to upset or surprise the markets. So I don't think they want to indicate anything more than September and leave themselves some optionality depending on incoming data over the summer. And also the Fed's going to get another crack at it at Jackson Hole when Powell will speak again, and then of course you have the September meeting. So I don't suspect we're going to learn a lot new from the Fed this week, except to indicate that they're leaning towards September.
We're talking about today's market activity with Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearset Advisors, based in New York. Now the markets are what are they going to like and what are they going to dislike out of that Fed meeting this week? I mean, as you mentioned, they'll probably nod towards September, but give themselves the Fed will give itself an out if the data starts going in a different direction. So what is an announcement that is that would be in line with what the markets are expecting?
If he's vague, if he leaves himself the optionality, nods towards September and commits to nothing further than that, I think the markets can then refocus on earnings and employment. If he were to indicate something more than September, which I do not expect, but were he to do that, I think the markets would get worried again that the Fed sees something weakening in the economy that we don't see yet. So the best news would be no new news, so we can focus on earnings and employment.
And then very quickly on the earnings front, Microsoft, Meta, Apple, Amazon, all reporting this week. The tech space has been under pressure. So what are you looking for?
Yeah, what you want to look for is what they're saying about the cost of ramping up for AI and the revenues that they're going to get from AI. The problem with last week is that the market saw more on the cost side and less on the revenue side. When you superimpose that on elevated stock prices, it brought the stocks under pressure. So I think the markets are going to be looking at that balance. What do they see in terms of costs and revenues of AI over the next few years?
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a consumer pullback is being felt at a leading fast food chain.
It's compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It was a tough second quarter for Chicago-headquartered McDonald's. Let's take a closer look with the help of R.J. Hadavi, Head of Analytical Research at foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI in Palo Alto, California. R.J., thank you for joining us today. And same-store sales fell for the first time since the fourth quarter of 2020, but that's also compared to this time a year ago. And I think there should be some asterisks applied to that because, RJ, I mean, obviously there are price pressures that are showing up, families opting to cook at home as opposed to shelling out $30 for a couple of Happy Meals. But also at the same time last year in the second quarter, we had the Grimace Shake promotion, which succeeded beyond McDonald's wildest expectations.
We do, and you're exactly right, Rob. I think we do have to put some asterisks behind the performance. You know, we are lapping last year's very successful Grimace Shake promotion. But I think at the end of the day, I think you know, kind of what you hinted on is still something that McDonald's looking to address, that more and more people are finding value elsewhere. We're seeing in our data, we see a lot of cross-hesitation with value grocers like Aldi and Trader Joe's. That's where a lot of McDonald's customers seem to be cross-visiting these days. We see it with convenience stores. And so I think McDonald's knows this is an issue. They addressed it several times on their update call today. And they really got to get back to this value consumer. And, you know, we're seeing it with the $5 meal deal. But I think McDonald's is looking beyond that, too, to reestablish kind of a value platform, because that really does resonate with consumers. At the same time, too, I think that they're also looking for some new innovation, the things that kind of drove, you know, the success that we saw last year, you know, maybe gone away from that a little bit, too. So I think that you're kind of fighting a battle on two fronts, value and innovation right now.
And what is your foot traffic information telling you about what kind of bump do you get out of offering those value meals? I mean, does that succeed in winning over the price sensitive customer?
It does. What we're seeing is actually traffic has picked up since the promotion was launched, obviously taking into account the more difficult comparisons from last year. But we do see an acceleration in foot traffic on a year-over-year basis for the last several weeks. So it does look like it's resonating with consumers. You know, that being said, we are seeing a lot of other quick service restaurant chains offering similar promotions, $5 bundled meals at this point, too. So I think that's eating into some of that success. You know, at the same time, too, grocery stores, you know, people who've been stealing share from McDonald's, they're not giving up either. I think we're still having a lot more discounting, a lot more promotions on that side as well. So even though McDonald's is seeing success, we're also seeing, you know, competitive pressures starting to intensify across the broader food retail category.
We're talking about the second quarter results at McDonald's with RJ Hottovy, head of analytical research at the foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. You talk about innovation in the fast food space, and that could help win back customers who are skipping the fast food restaurant in favor of the grocery store. When we talk about innovation, do we mean innovation in pricing or innovation in rewards or value meals? Or once again, is it innovation in products like the aforementioned Grimace Shake? Or some of the specialty concoctions at a place like Cosmix?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of each one of those buckets, to be honest. I do think that menu innovation and product is probably the most important here. And McDonald's has had a pretty good track record since the pandemic of new product innovation. You've touched on a couple there, and we've certainly spoken about some in the past. But, you know, certainly you have an incubator like Cosmix where you potentially could pull some of those products and launch them nationally if they see success. So that's one idea there. But I also think, you know, what you talked about in terms of the digital innovation and kind of the rewards and loyalty, that's been very successful for McDonald's as well. And just getting more creativity on that front, maybe exclusive products through the digital app, maybe, you know, special promotions that target specific people with that too. That's something that certainly McDonald's is looking at, and probably you know, something that they need to do more of. And I think innovation and pricing too is something that, you know, we can certainly see more and more of. Maybe there's other ways to accentuate value to consumers right now, because that is really what is working with most consumers right now.
RJ Hottovy, head of analytical research at the foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday stock picker.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Hey, it's Stock Picker Monday, and sharing his expertise this afternoon is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com in Hammond, Indiana. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. Two selections this week, and your first one, you want people to possibly invest their bucks in the company with the logo that is a buck.
I had to think twice on that one, Rob. Yes, you do. The company is Hartford Financial Services Group.
Now, keep in mind, Chuck, I also Googled whether or not the logo for the Hartford was an elk or a buck. So it's actually a buck. So we are firm believers in accuracy here on the Noon Business Hour.
I appreciate that. It's Hartford Financial Services Group. The symbol is HIG. The stock trades for about $109 a share, and it is the financial services and insurance company. Hartford provides property and casualty insurance and also provides group benefits and also provides mutual funds. The company has been around since, I believe, 1810, or the origins of the company, so it has a pretty seasoned track record. We like the stock. Financial services stocks are really improving here in this rotation we're seeing in the market, and Hartford is a nice way to play that. The company just came off a nice earnings beat in this quarter, and they've continuing a trend of earnings beats. Their earnings estimates have been trending higher here in the last week or so, which is a good sign. The dividend is 1.7%, so you get a nice little dividend. And finally, from a valuation standpoint, the stock trades at only about 11 times its 2024 earnings estimate. So there's value, there's cash flow, and there's earnings and operating momentum here. So it's a stock we like quite a bit. It's Hartford Financial Services. HIG is the symbol.
And from a company that's named after a city on the East Coast to a tech company that is based on the West Coast, and that's your second selection on this Stock Picker Monday.
That is, and the company is Qualcomm. The symbol is QCOM, trades for $180 a share. And Qualcomm is one of those technology stocks. It's a semiconductor company that's been caught up in kind of this sharp rotation that I alluded to, where people have been moving money out of some of the tech stocks and into other areas of the market that had lagged. However, you know, if you were an investor sitting there thinking, boy, I'd love to buy some of these tech stocks if they got cheaper, they're getting cheaper. And at some point, you need to pull the trigger. Qualcomm stock is down 22%. From its 52-week high. You're getting a dividend yield of almost 2%. And for a technology stock, it's trading at less than 20 times its 2024 earnings estimate and 17 times its 2025 earnings estimate. So there's significant value there created by the fact that the stock is down, you know, 22% from its 52-week high. Earnings and revenue are going to grow nicely this year and next. So you're getting a company with pretty good operating momentum. And at some point, I think investors are going to come back to these technology stocks at more favorable valuations. And I think Qualcomm's there already. So I think it's a buy. We own both Qualcomm and Hartford, our company, as well as our clients, Rob.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com in Hammond. Thank you for joining us on Stock Picker Monday. His selections, the Hartford Financial Services Group, HIG, and Qualcomm, QCOM.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.